Okay, we will start in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God. Amen. I always say that God has a sense of humor, and that God likes to laugh. Okay, and there's two things before we get into anything that I'm going to talk about today that I just like to point your attention to shows that God has sense of humor. He's got kind of an ironic kind of sense about him. First one, which is less funny than the second, but a lot of people came in and saw the whole title of today, something about frozen assets, and complained about why it's so cold here and we do this on purpose. No, we didn't do it on purpose, but it just happened. That's kind of funny. But the second thing that's even more funny is I'm going to start off today's talk, okay, by I was going to tell you guys a little story. Recently, I celebrated my third wedding anniversary, okay? And I was thinking back to when me and Mary Ann first got married, and I was remembering back to when we purchased our wedding rings, all right? And I'll get into that story in a second, because that deals with what we're going to talk about. But the ironic thing of it all is that if you look at me today, what did I not wearing this morning is my wedding ring. But there's a reason, because I was playing basketball on Thursday, and I took a shot on the hand, and I got a little cut on my ring finger. So that's why I'm not wearing it. But again, see the irony that God has in this whole thing. So the lesson here is always smile, always laugh, because God does. Okay? Anyway, on to wedding rings. I remember when I was shopping for my wedding ring, and maybe if you've ever gone shopping for jewelry, especially a wedding ring type of jewelry, you may remember what I kind of remembered. Okay? You go and go shopping for a wedding ring, and it's kind of like an exciting thing. You're going to see what's there, but I'm not a real shopping kind of guy, but believe it or not, I was actually excited to go see this stuff. So you get into the store, and the first thing you see is there's a million and one wedding rings to choose from, okay? And every one is different. They all look exactly the same to me, but this one has a little itsy-bitsy little design right there on the inside. And that one's got a little diamond in the corner as opposed to in the middle. And then that one, and each one of these things has all these intricate designs that somehow distinguishes the one from the other. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know how anyone has the patience to do those intricate designs. Like, I don't know how anyone could sit there and make one different than the other in that way. And that's what I kept thinking to myself. Then I thought to myself that you know what? Who's like that is God's like that. Because you know what? We're the same way. As intricate as wedding rings are and as detailed as they are, human beings are the same way. And that's what we're talking about here in this series. And I remembered Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 on your handout, which says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I'm sure the ring designer of whatever ring said, look at my workmanship. And he took great pride in the intricacies and the detail of each little thing on that wedding ring. Well, I'm sure that God is the exact same way when it comes to us. And He looks at the little details that separates me from you and you from everyone else in the whole world. He looks at that and says, that's my workmanship, and takes great pride in that. Because God prepared it in advance. Well before the beginning of the world, He knew exactly how you were going to turn out, and He programmed you and designed you and made you with the little details that makes you, you. And that's what we're talking about here in this series. We're talking about how God shaped every single one of us in a particular way so that we could do His purpose in life. And we said the acronym SHAPE stands for the five characteristics that distinguish me from you and everyone from everyone. And they're on your handout. S for spiritual gifts. H for heart, A, abilities, personality, and experiences. And we talked about spiritual gifts last week, the different gifts that God gives us that distinguishes us, our mission, what He wants us to do. And we talked the first week about what our heart is, what drives us, and what motivates us. Well, today we're going to get into the third one, which is our abilities. All right? And we're going to see that no two people have the same abilities in life. Everyone was different. Everyone was given different abilities. And if you can examine those abilities, that can give you a clue as to what God wants for your life. For example, I brought up basketball before. Some people were given a natural ability to play basketball. Okay? Some people, and this could be many of you who think that you want to sign up for our league play on Thursday nights, were not given that ability. Okay? You were not given the ability to play basketball. Either you're short, you're goofy, you're uncoordinated, you can't, whatever it is. Maybe that's not your thing. Some of you just weren't given that talent. Okay? I'm talking generally now. But you know that God gives each one different ability. Let's leave basketball aside since we have some, people think whatever about basketball. You ever watch the Boston Marathon? Okay, watch the Boston Marathon. I never watched it either, but I at least see the highlights on SportsCenter. If you watch the Boston Marathon, you'll notice that the first, like, 10 guys who cross the finish line are almost identical to one another. You cannot pick them apart. They are the same build, the same size, the same physique, exactly the same. Those 10 people were designed to run the Boston Marathon. Those 10 people were given the natural physical abilities to be able to run it. You never see a big, fat, tall guy ever finish with them because he wasn't given that ability, okay? Some people, and then on the opposite side, some people, you know, were just kind of meant to be big. There are certain people out there who may lift weights and exercise, all that kind of stuff, and they'll never, ever put on any muscle. But there's other people who were made to be bodybuilders in this world, okay? So we have to understand that everyone's given different gifts. This sometimes is very sad for little girls when they want to be a ballerina, and then they get the bad news broken to them that, you know, they're never going to be a ballerina. They just don't have the skills. Some of these kids can't even walk straight without bumping into things. Never going to be a ballerina. So the point is we need to accept what we were given, and we need to accept the fact that all of us have different abilities. The idea of trying to think that or being frustrated because someone doesn't have my abilities or I don't have someone else's abilities is as foolish as being frustrated because we all don't look alike. The same way everyone looks differently, same way everyone has different talents and everyone has different abilities. There's a story one time about the animals in the jungle. And the animals in the jungle decided to build a school. And they said, we need to have like a institution of higher learning for all these dumb animals. Alright? And the courses they're going to offer is running, swimming, climbing, and flying. Okay? Running, swimming, climbing, and flying. And every animal has to take every single course. Okay? And needs to get a certain GPA to pass animal university or whatever it is. Well, as you can imagine, the duck was doing very good in swimming. And he was getting straight A's in swimming. But he struggled in flying, and he did really, really poorly in running. So what happened with the duck is they said, no more swimming for you. You're not allowed to swim until you get this running thing down. So they made the duck stay after school every single day and practice his running. And he eventually practiced so much that his little web feet got worn out and blisters and all kinds of athlete's foot and stuff like that. So he could no longer swim as good as before. And all of a sudden he was only a C student in swimming. The rabbit, now was the opposite. Now he was very good in running. He was the top of his class when it came to running. But he wasn't very good in swimming, so they made him practice swimming, and in the morning and in the night, and they made him practice swimming so much, he ended up getting pneumonia from being out in the cold so often, he had to drop out of school altogether. Now, the squirrel was a straight-A student in climbing. He was number one when it came to climbing. But when it came to flying, he was extremely frustrated. He was extremely frustrated because his instructor was very stubborn. He figured that as long as he's in the air, you know, it doesn't matter how he gets there. So he had a top-down approach to flying, but the teacher insisted he go from the ground up, so he didn't do very well there. And then finally there was the eagle, and the eagle was expelled out of school for being a rebellious student. Because in climbing class, he thought he knew better than everyone else, and he got to the top of the mountain before anyone else, but he took his own route to get there. The point is that God, just like with the animals, designed each one of us differently, with different talents and different abilities. And for the duck to try to be anything other than the duck is never, ever, is always going to lead to frustration, is going to lead to failure, is going to lead to misery, and is going to lead to losing the skills which God gave us to do. Okay? So we try to do that as human beings all the time. We try to force fit ourselves. Take a square peg into a round hole. We want to have these abilities. I'm going to force myself to have them. Well, maybe you don't have them. And same with vice versa, trying to control other people. Okay? So what is it about our abilities that we can learn today? Well, four kind of facts about them. First is that every ability is given by God. Every ability is given by God. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. St. Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. All right? The Bible is very clear that God gives each one different natural abilities. But regardless of what your gift or talent is, it's given by God. All right? They all come from Him because He's our maker, He's our creator. Sometimes in Christianity, we emphasize the spiritual aspect so much to the detriment of the natural abilities aspect of things. All right? For example, there is a myth out there which says that once you become Christian, once you become dedicated to God, once you start walking the walk and talking the talk and living the life, then you can do anything you want. Then you can accomplish anything, that you'll always be successful, that you'll have anything that you want. True or false? False. No matter how much I pray, I'm never going to be in the NBA. No matter how much I pray. I could pray, I could be the most committed Christian in the world, I could give all my money to the church, I could fast 24 hours a day, I'm never going to be in the NBA. I'm never going to sing opera like Pavarotti or any of those guys. I wasn't given those natural abilities. Okay? So we can't downplay the role of your natural abilities in life. This is heartbreaking to some of you who want to be in the NBA, I can see. But the point is that whatever gift that you were given was given by God. And even if it's not what you want, it's what you got. Okay? Now, if you look in the Bible gives many, 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 many different abilities. Okay? And it always links them back to God. All right? Let me give you a list of just a few of the different abilities which the Bible said is given by God for a specific purpose. It mentions athletic ability, artistic ability, baking, boat making, barbering is actually in the Bible. Debating, designing, embalming, engraving, farming, fishing, gardening, managing, musical abilities, making weapons, needlework, painting, poetry, being a soldier, writing. All these kind of gifts are listed in the Bible as God gave them to a specific person for a specific purpose. So you too have gifts and abilities that God gave you, whether it's doctor or singer or lawyer or whatever it is that God gave you. If He gave you those natural abilities to excel and to be good at something, then it's for a reason, okay? It's not just by accident that I ended up with these skills that I got, okay? So that's first thing, that every ability is given by God. The second thing is that every ability can be used for God's glory. Every ability can be used for God's glory. Meaning, if God gives it to you, He wants you to do something with it. And He wants it to be for His glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, I told you a couple weeks ago that researchers say that the average human being has between 500 and 700 natural abilities. Okay? Now, those of you out there who say, "Oh, I don't have any abilities," I'm telling you, if you're average, you got 500 to 700. If you are above average, like, you know, maybe you think yourself above average, you got even more than that, okay? But you got at least 500 to 700 natural abilities. Now, to clarify, you know, that includes things like raising your hand is an ability, okay? And you may laugh, but I mean, lots of people don't have that ability, okay? Walking is an ability. Again, a lot of people don't have that ability. So the point is that you have lots of abilities, and I guarantee you got a ton of abilities that you don't even know that you have. Whatever ability that you have, whether it's fixing cars, whether it's balancing books, whether it's cooking a meal, use it for God's glory. Anyone ever heard of Reggie White? Minister of Defense, okay? He up until this past year, with a little asterisk next to it, he was the leader in the NFL history of sacks, okay? One of the greatest players in the history of the NFL. Bruce Smith surpassed him this past year, but that's another issue. Anyway, Reggie White was... Bruce Smith was only playing to get the sack record, and it was all kinds of stuff. But anyway, Reggie White is one of the greatest football players ever. And he's also a Baptist minister. And he wrote a book called In the Trenches. All right, and in the book, he says that I hit hard for the glory of God. I loved that when he said that. He said, I hit people hard for the glory of God because God gave me the ability to play football, and He gave me the talent to do it, so I'm going to do it 100%, and I'm going to play as hard as I can. Not saying that he's trying to injure someone or hurt someone, but within the rules of the game, he hit hard for the glory of God. I love that. Look what else. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Other abilities that you never thought you could use for God's glory. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. See what that says? Is that God gives some of us the ability to get money, to get wealth. You can make money, believe it or not, to the glory of God. You never thought that was possible, did you? Did you think that's possible? That you can get wealthy and it's to the glory of God. How? Usually money is a bad thing. But it says here that remember the Lord your God, He gave you the power to get wealth. So how can me having this ability, because I think, if we're honest, lots of us in this room have the ability to make money. Lots of us in this room maybe have an extra ability to make a lot of money. In fact, you're living in Northern Virginia with the rates, the prices of houses these days, and the market that we're in, means you have an ability to gather, acquire wealth. Well, how can I use this for God's glory? How? Okay, very good. Number one, how you distribute it. Okay, what else?
What you use it for.
Okay, what you use it for. All right, very good. What else? First thing is, I go back to point number one, is realizing that the reason that I have a lot of money, I recognize that it came from God. Okay, that's the first thing you got to do, is you got to acknowledge the fact that I was given this ability to produce money, and it's a gift from God. So you acknowledge the fact that if it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't have the ability to, you know, argue cases, or you wouldn't have the ability to do accounting stuff. You know, if you didn't have the brain power, the capacity, or whatever. And then the second thing you can do, I would say, is the way you act with that money. Okay? Or the way you act in order to get the money, I should say. Meaning ethically and morally. Right? Just because you have an ability to get money doesn't mean you do things immoral. And then, like my man here said, and was said over here, is that what you do with that money. So I think it's very glorifying to God if you give the first 10% back to God, at least. Okay? You want to bring God glory with your money? Give some back to Him. And then give even more to Him, because that really brings Him glory. I think, again, a lot of us were given that ability to make money, and God gave us that ability because He wants us to contribute significantly to His kingdom. He wants us to be part of the kingdom of God in terms of building. All right? All of us have a piece in the construction of God's house, in the construction of God's eternal house. Some people, their job is to preach. And some people, their job is to, you know, prepare whatever, to clean or whatever. Some people's job is to finance those operations. Some people's job is to pay for the missionaries that go to Africa. So what I'm saying, if you're given that ability, use it to glorify God and to bring glory to Him. Yes, Janine.
I heard somebody say that your 10% need to be given to the church, and then if you want to give any other programs or whatever, like missionaries or whatever, it needs to be on top of that 10%. Is that true?
Okay, the question was about the 10%. Does it go to the church or go to other charities and stuff like that? Well, as far as we're concerned for the giving, we're talking about just giving money. But if we're going to get into the issue of tithing, then as a member of a church, of course you have a duty to your church. Okay, this beautiful air conditioning that you guys are experiencing today costs money. Okay, so do these lights, so do these chairs, so does this podium, so does everything. So the fact that I am going to a church and I'm attending and I'm benefiting from the physical services, and then in addition, I'm being edified in my soul, I'm listening to sermons, I'm listening to Bible studies, I'm benefiting from all these services, then I have a duty to contribute towards it. Okay, we don't want to be a freeloader in God's house. Right, so that's one thing. But then you want to glorify God more, yeah, adding charities on top of that or anything, or giving more in this area or whatever. Okay, but the point is that anything that you have, any ability, was given by God. Number one, used for God's glory. Third thing is that my abilities show God's plan for my life. My abilities show God's plan for my life. And we mentioned this last week as well with our spiritual gifts. All these different aspects of your shape, the point of learning them is trying to figure out what God wants from me. All right? And if you see what tools God gave you, it can help put the pieces together of what God wants from you. Hey, I went to college just like you. You go to college, say, choose a major. And there's like 7 billion majors to choose from. How do I know which major to choose? How do I know what's the right one? How do I know what God wants? Do I pray? Do I put it on the altar? What do I do? Well, first thing you need to do is look at your abilities. All right? God doesn't want you. If God didn't give you any skills with numbers, He gave you not the ability to add 5 plus 5 without using your fingers. You get to 11, you're in trouble. Okay? Then maybe He doesn't want you to be an accountant. That's not a good choice for you. He doesn't want you to be a mathematician. Look at the abilities God gave you, and then you can see what God wants from your life. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. May God equip you with everything good for doing His will. God will equip you with what you need to do His will. He would never give you a job to do and not give you the tools to do it. Okay? No good employer would. No employer would give you a task to do, I need all this done by Friday, if it's not humanly possible, or not giving you the resources to do it. Okay? So, again, look at your abilities. Look at what you're good at. Are you good with people? Are you good with numbers? Are you good with arts and crafts? Whatever it is, and use that to help guide you and where it is that you're going. All right? But the fact that God gave me a gift means He wants me to use it. Because God is a wise investor. All right? We are, for the most of us, unwise investors. But even an unwise investor, if I put a dollar here, do I want at least get that dollar back plus something, right? So, and that's us who are foolish investors. But God is a very wise investor. So I'm not going to put a dollar here unless I want a dollar back. All right. So if I'm going to give you this ability, well, I want you to use it. I'm not just giving it to you for the heck of it just to waste it. Okay? So another way of saying that is that my calling and my abilities should match one another. My calling or my purpose and my abilities should match one another. All right. We all know that God put us here for a reason, and God doesn't want us to just waste time on this earth. What's the reason? Well, check out your abilities, and that'll give you a clue into it. All right. But until you figure it out, you're always going to be frustrated in life. As long as you are not using your strengths and you are emphasizing your weaknesses, of course, you're going to be frustrated in life. There was a book that came out a while ago. It was called The C-Zone. Anyone ever heard of it? Okay, it's written by a business guy. All right, not really spiritual, but it has some nice principles. The book, The C-Zone, says that every single one of us is operating in one of three different zones. Okay? All of us are operating in one of three different zones. The first one is called, he calls the panic zone. Okay? And that's where your abilities is here, but the task is here. Okay? You are doing a task which is greater than the abilities that you have to do it. So you are in panic zone. This leads to stress. This leads to panic. Okay? Hence the name, the panic zone. For example, if I had called you up, if you walked into church this morning and I'd have said, you know what, David, good to see you. I need you to give the sermon in 15 minutes to the whole church. He'd be in panic zone, okay? Because the task is a big task. He wasn't given time to prepare. So, you know what? This is going to cause a problem, all right? Because the task is greater than the abilities. Now, the other extreme is what he calls the drone zone. The drone zone is where the task is low and the abilities are high. All right, and this was, I used to be a consultant back in the day, and this is where a lot of, you know, my day-to-day activities were spent in this zone. Meaning, you're using 5% of your abilities, using 5% of your capability, and then the rest of it, you're just letting it waste, or, you know, playing solitaire, or email, or whatever it is that you're doing. This is when the task is so easy, so predictable, that you don't use the fullness of your capabilities. Does this lead to a fulfilled life? No, this doesn't lead to fulfillment either. It doesn't lead to stress, but it leads to the opposite. It leads to boredom. Okay? No challenge, no enjoyment. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart was given the job to lick envelopes all day. Okay? And he's trying to convince Mr. Skinner, Principal Skinner. He said, you know, this is boring, this is this and that. Principal Skinner told him, no. See how many you can do in 1 hour, and then write down that number, and the next hour, try to beat that record. And that's the whole point of his day. So obviously he wasn't very motivated to do that. Now, you're never going to be satisfied if you are in panic zone or if you are in drone zone. So what we need is the C zone or the comfort zone. The comfort zone is where your abilities and your tasks match one another. That's God's will for you. Where you are challenged but not stressed. Okay? You're given things to keep you challenged in life, but not to the point of panic or whatever. If you find this, this is where you find fulfillment in life. And this is where you don't need exterior motivation to go to work in the morning or to do whatever, because this is what you were made to do. You can handle it, all right? Where your task matches your abilities. Okay? So every ability given by God, every ability used for God's glory, my ability to show God's plan for my life. And number four, if I don't use them, I will lose them. Very good. If I don't use them, I'll lose them. Just like your cell phone minutes. You have a plan that gives you 1,000 minutes a month. If you don't use those minutes, they ain't going to come back to you. Sprint ain't going to call me up and say, you know what, you have an extra 5 minutes. Hey, you know what, take this one on Sprint. They'll never do that, okay? Same thing with your abilities. If you don't use your abilities or you misuse your abilities, you will lose them. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 28. So take the talent from him who didn't use it and give it to him who has 10 talents. Same parable, our Lord teaches us that to whom much is given, much is required. Since everything came from God to begin with, I don't have a right to them. Okay? If God gave me something and I don't use it properly, I can't say, you owe me this. No. You had your chance, you chose to misuse it. And the thing is, this isn't just your abilities, but this is life in general. This is a universal principle. Where if you have something and you don't use it, you'll lose it. For example, like what? How about, for example, you know, let's go back to the bodybuilding. If I got a lot of muscles today, but I choose not to exercise, am I still going to have those muscles next year? No, it'll be flab. What if I have the gift of, you know, playing the violin, okay? But I choose not to practice. I don't want to use it. Am I always going to have that gift? No. If I don't fine-tune it, if I'm not practicing, I'm going to lose it. Well, it's the same thing, all right? It's very important also, another example for you college students this summer is your mind is the same way, okay? If you don't use it this summer, it won't be there when September rolls around, okay? So use your brains a little bit this summer, right? You know what? This is a good principle also for all employers or managers or you who are successful in whatever it is, that if you don't use your employees the way that their abilities are, you're going to lose them, okay? If you don't utilize them to the fullest of their abilities, they're going to either be in one of these two zones, you're going to lose them, all right? They won't stay and work where they're not at their potential. So, my expectation is that if you're sitting there, I said, you got 500-700 abilities, and if you don't use them, you're going to lose them. You may be in panic mode right now. I know I can't think of 500 things that I'm using at the same time, so how can I defrost, this is where the title comes in right now, flip to the back of your handout, how to defrost those frozen assets or those frozen abilities, right? The whole point of the line was to get there and you guys smile and laugh and it all clicks and stuff. How do I defrost them? Because, like I said, one day you're either going to lose them, you're going to lose them if you're not using them, and even more importantly is that you're going to have to pay account for them. Pay account? You have to be accountable for them. Right? So, meaning one day you're going to stand before God, He's going to say, I gave you this, 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 and this. What did you do with it? Alright, so for that reason alone, we need to figure out how to get them defrosted. Four things you can do. First one is assess them. Assess them. Like we said last time, do the same thing again. Ask yourself, what in the world am I good at? Take 5 minutes out your day and ask yourself, what are my strengths? What things am I successful at doing? I know you guys have heard of Peter Drucker, right? You and I heard of him. Peter Drucker? No one's heard of him? Peter Drucker, never? Business guys. He's like a business guru, one of these like CEO guys or whatever. Anyway, he wrote a book. All right, and in the book, they asked him, his title, he's called the Father of Modern Management. Anyone? Okay, whatever. He's a famous guy. I'll stick with Sports and Simpsons from now on, don't worry. See, it's not me. It's really, it's you guys. See, you say, what, Anthony doesn't know nothing except sports and Simpsons. I try. I'm reading modern magazines and books and stuff, and you guys just don't give me any love. So, anyway, they asked Peter Drucker, who's this father of modern management, if you had to give advice to the young people in the 21st century, these career-oriented guys who are busting out of their college, what to be successful, how to be successful, what would you tell them? He said, know your strengths. Know what you're good at. Because everyone out there knows what they're bad at. But very few people know what their strengths are. I'd say the same thing. Is that we need to sit down. And it's not like I'm being proud or anything like that. What gifts has God given me? A lot of times, you're unaware of your abilities. Because it's a natural ability, it comes easy to you. You don't even think about it. If I'm good at, you know, listening, for example, or I'm very patient or whatever, if I'm, let's take something more like tangible. Let's say I'm good at numbers, okay? I am personally, I know I'm good at numbers. I was always very good in math. But I never thought about it as an ability. I thought everyone else was slow, okay? Because it's really natural to me. It's really easy to me. So the point is because it's so natural, you don't even think about it for a second. But I know, for example, I know in English I'm deficient. I know in English, I don't do very good. I don't like to read or anything like that. So the point is recognize your own abilities. And again, those of you who are managers and you have people under you, you want to be a successful manager, know your employees' strengths. Know what they're good at and plan accordingly. If you don't know what they're good at and they're not able to find it under you, they're going to go somewhere else. So first thing, you got to assess them. Second thing you got to do once you figure out what your assets are is you got to dedicate them. Dedicate them. Dedicate them to who? Obviously to God. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. St. Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies or your abilities. Dedicate them to God. Commit them to God for His use. Say, God, I recognize you gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and now I want you to know I give them right back to you. You give me all these things, and I want to use them for your glory. I want to use them to build your kingdom. I want to use them to make you happy, and however you plan for me to use it. Okay? Look at the next verse, 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from sin, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Circle that phrase, useful for the Master. I don't know about you. When I read that phrase, useful for the Master, kind of get goosebumps. I kind of get a little tingly on the inside. Because to me, there's nothing better in this world. That's the goal of life. Is that God looks at me and says, you know what? Abuna Anthony, he's useful. I find him useful. Everyone out there finds me useless. But you know what? I find him useful. And I see that, you know, he's doing something that makes me happy. I'm telling you. I don't want money, I don't want raise, I don't want people to clap for me, but if God came and said, this guy's useful, man, there's no greater thrill, there's no greater motivation for me in this life than to feel that way, that God finds me useful, that He has given me abilities, and He thinks I'm doing a good job with them, okay? Because any ability that God gives me, I can use them in a right way and in a wrong way, alright? For example, let's say God gave you the ability to organize. To like organize, you know, a group of people to do stuff. You can use them. What's a bad way to use that?
Cult.
Cult, okay. Organize a cult, religion. Alright? I was going to say organize a crime, but cult, that's fine. We'll go with that. What's a good way to use that same gift?
OCS.
Organize like a Coptic club or a Bible study or like a rescue operation or a mission trip or whatever. Okay, very good. Let's say God gave you the ability to influence people. Okay, you're good at, you know, influencing. What's a bad way to use it?
Sell drugs,
okay? Manipulate people and sell them drugs. What's a good way to use it?
Evangelist.
Be an evangelist, okay? So you see that God gives gifts, and it's our choice what we do with them. That's why dedicate is very important. Don't just say, I have the gift of influence. Well, I'm going to go out there and influence everyone to use drugs and all this kind of stuff. No, I recognize I have this gift, and then God, I want to use it for your purpose. Yes, Maria?
What's the difference between spiritual gifts and
abilities? Okay, the difference between spiritual gifts and abilities, which someone over here asked last week, okay? Spiritual gifts is more of like, abilities right now what I'm talking about is natural, physical, tangible things. Basketball, you know, doctor. Like some of us have the ability to be a doctor, you know, or skilled in that area. Some of us are not. Some other ones like I said, art, being an artist, being a good baker and stuff like that. Those are natural abilities. Spiritual is when it comes to like things like patience. When it comes to things like, you know, you have a heart for caring, things like that. Okay? So you can define them more tangible and intangible. Okay, so assess them, dedicate them. Number three, cultivate them. Like I said before, if you got a gift and you don't do anything with it, you're going to lose it. So your abilities require cultivation. Right? They require you, like I said, if you're a singer, practice. If you're good with numbers, develop it. Learn more. Study. Whatever it is that you're good at, God wants you to sharpen your skills is what I'm trying to say. Okay? Back to Reggie White. He gave him the ability to be good at football. He wants him to be the best at football. Okay? And if God gave you the ability to be good with computers, he wants you to be the best with computers and to get the best job with computers. Not in a competitive way, but not to waste the good things that he's given you. Alright? Your responsibility before God is to take what he gives you and make it better. Okay, again, that return on investment. If I give you a dollar, I don't want a dollar back. I want a dollar with interest. Okay, I want a dollar and 10 cents or whatever. Same thing with God. I give you this skill, I want you to make it better, to sharpen it. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. This verse talks about if you're trying to do a job, like an example gives you, let's say you're trying to cut down a tree, and you got an axe, but the edge is not sharp. There's two ways that you can get that tree cut down. Okay? Let's even say it's got like an extremely dull edge, you know? So it's like it's barely doing it. It's like a toothbrush out there trying to chop down this tree. There's two ways I can get that tree down. One is brute force. I can swing harder. Okay? And I may have to swing really hard, but you know what? If I swung all day and all night, maybe I'll chip away at a little bit every single day and that thing will come down. What's a much smarter way? Sharpen the edge. Okay? It takes less effort. And you're fighting smarter, not fighting harder. Okay? So that's what God wants us to do with our abilities. Okay? So God wants you to cultivate those abilities, sharpen them skills. Alright? So I've assessed them, I've dedicated them, I've cultivated them, and then the last thing, I gotta use them. Alright? I gotta use them. Not just about practicing, and never actually doing something with that gift. Alright? So put them to use. Just like our Lord teaches us, or St. Peter teaches us, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Right? God does not want us to take our gift and hide it from the world. So people say, oh, you know what, those Christians, yeah, their God isn't that great, doesn't give them anything. No, our God is great and He gives us a bunch of stuff, so we want to show that to the world. It's okay. Okay? So that's about your abilities. Since we talked a lot about sports, say let's stick on a sports theme as we wrap up here. You know that tonight is a very, very big game. Alright, game 4. Any Lakers fans in the room?
No.
Alright, very good. I can say what I'm about to say freely then. There are some athletes on the Los Angeles Lakers in particular, but in general, in the world of sports, who got big egos. Okay? Really big egos. And sometimes I watch some of these guys out there. Okay? There's one in particular who I'm thinking about, but I won't mention names. Alright? There's athletes out there who have tattoos of like a psalm. Okay? Yet their ego is so big that they really think that all their ability comes from themselves. And it really astounds me. I understand that to play at that level, it takes a lot of hard work. But what I'm trying to say is that your hard work gave you this little edge on everyone else. But to get you up to this 99.9 percentile that you're in was all God. Okay? It was all His ability. He made you tall. He made you be able to jump. He gave you all the skills necessary. Yes, you had to fine-tune it, like I say. But the point is that it all came from God. If it wasn't for Him, there'd be nothing that you'd even have here to work with. And I'm not saying that any of us are at that level, but we need to do the same thing with ourselves. When you become spiritually mature in life, you can say 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, which is, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the flip side of that, by the grace of God, I ain't what I ain't. I wasn't good at English, I told you. Alright? By the grace of God, I ain't what I ain't, or I'm not what I'm not. So, realizing that God designed us all differently. A famous person once said that everyone in this world is ignorant, it's just on different subjects. Alright? Every one of us has things that we're good at and things we're not good at. So the point is that I say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I'm not what I'm not. I recognize my limitations and what I'm good at. Now, just as we wrap up here, what are the implications of all this kind of talk on me and you? What kind of practical applications? How does this affect my day-to-day life? Well, I kind of figured out a few areas this affects. First of all, when it comes to our career, what are the implications for me in my career, or my schooling, or my whatever? Well, I would say that you need to figure out what your strengths are and build on those strengths. Okay? Because like I said, every one of us was given natural abilities to do certain things. So figure out what you're good at and build on those things and try to minimize the weaknesses that you're not good at. Accept what you're good at and what you're not good at and try, like I said, don't try to make yourself good at something that you're not good at. What are the implications of this on our relationships? whether if you're married or whether you're single or your friends or whatever, what are the implications here? Is no matter how great you think you are, and a lot of us think we're great, okay, don't try to make everyone like you. Because God didn't make anyone else like you except you. So don't try to force fit someone else to think like you, you know, and to be like you and to react like you. And by the same token, don't force yourself into that role from someone else. Okay? Especially when it comes to marriage, especially. Okay? That God designed us in marriage to complement one another. Okay? So figure out in marriage who's good at what, and let that person be responsible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the man is in charge of the checkbook. It never says that. What the Bible is very clear that we're supposed to complement one another. So if you're good with the checkbook, then you handle that, and you don't let the person, you know, who's not good at it handle it. And that other person's good at whatever, the social aspect of whatever, okay? Each one has their own skills and strengths, and that's why there has to be like subcommittees for everything within marriage, okay? So, subcommittees, everything's subcommittees. Right? And then the last thing, how does this affect my ministry? How does this affect my service in life? Well, like I said, God gives each one of us gifts. All right? And Janine brought up a point here about, you know, the ability to produce wealth and stuff like that. As a part of a church family, you're all part of this church family, all of us have chores to do. Okay? No free ride. No free ride in the church. So every one of us was given abilities not to use outside, but also to use inside as well. There's a myth out there that says that the skills that I use to be successful Monday through Friday at work have no place in church. Who said? Who said that? If you are gifted and skilled, and Monday through Friday you are excelling in certain areas, be it whatever it may be, then God wants you to excel also in that because your church family needs it. Your church family is lacking that one specific role. And if you don't do it, it ain't ever going to get done. Okay? I believe that God has a plan for every church, and you all agree with me. God wants this church to be doing a certain thing, and this church is under His care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I believe that the people that He wants to accomplish it is right here. And He puts each one with their different skill set in this church at this time for a specific reason, because they bring something to the table that no one else can bring. Ask yourself, what is it that He wants from you? Okay? Ask yourself, of all the people in the whole world, of all the churches in the whole world, why am I at this church today? I say it's for a reason. I say it's because God has a plan for this church and you're a part of that plan. And next thing ask yourself is that if that's true, and it is true, how can I make a difference? How can I make a difference in this church's mission, in this family's mission? I'm not just talking about your money. I'm not talking about your time. I'm talking about your abilities. I'm talking about everything that you bring to the table, and that's different for every single one of us. Okay? Any questions? Yes, Irene.
You said, like, when you dedicate your life to God, God looks for your weaknesses.
Yes. You said when you dedicate your life to God, He works through your weaknesses? Okay, I didn't catch the end of it, I'm sorry.
So, like, is that kind of supposed to be also our frame of reference? Like, is that in terms of our abilities, or just
through? What do you mean by He works through your weaknesses? I don't understand that phrase.
Like, it's always be like someone who stutters
or
whatever, and He ends up
being... Okay, I see. The question was, is that if you commit your life to God, He works through your weaknesses, meaning He'll still accomplish His mission through you despite your weaknesses. So the example was, if someone stutters, and that good example there was like Moses in the Old Testament, God wanted him to lead the people of Israel and go to Pharaoh and all that stuff, but he said, I stutter. So God took care of him. He sent him Aaron, who's much more eloquent. Yeah, that's true, but God doesn't alleviate our weaknesses. God didn't say, Moses, okay, you know what, you'll never stutter again. Because we all have weaknesses. And think about it from God's perspective. Let's take Moses, since we brought him up. If Moses didn't have a weakness, what would Moses think about himself? Moses would be pretty proud. He'd be pretty cocky. I mean, of all the people in the whole world, Moses brought darkness to the world. He turned water to blood. He's the one who, because of something he said, people were killed. Firstborn was killed. So it's very easy for him to get a little proud here and forget about God. So that's why God leaves us with some kind of weakness in life. Okay? But He can still accomplish His mission for us despite the weakness, but not in place of. He never replaces it. Keep us humble. Yeah.
I just want to also think about trying a new skill. Like, okay, we got a skill, we know about it, probably we're thinking about developing, but also is it important to try and
definitely
that we want it to, we don't know that we're good at it, or
definitely
even if we fail from the first time?
Definitely. Joe's question is, what about new skills? Should we try new things? Absolutely, 100%. No doubt about it, because the only way you're going to learn you're good at something is, you know, giving it a shot. And some things are going to work, some things aren't going to work. We got to be not scared to fail, okay? Oftentimes we're too scared to be embarrassed or fail or something like that. The example I gave last time is, I remember the first time that I was asked, okay, you're going to give a sermon in front of 400 people. I said, well, I've never done that. I'm not good at that. I don't have that skill. Well, how am I going to know if I have this skill if I've never tried? You don't practice that in high school, giving a sermon to 400 people. Okay? So it's one of those things, you got to step out. Either you're good at it or you're not good at it. And then certain things, you know, I tried, it turned out good. So other things I tried, I failed miserably. You know? Which we don't need to talk about those. There are lots of things I tried, I know in my head. It just didn't work out. Okay? So I'm not good at certain things. So, but it's good to try. Yes, Mina?
Basically, I have a thought here. God, I started saying that God is the I am. I am that I am. Which means there's no past and the future of God. God is always in the present. Present. That means he's always potent in his attributes. He's omnipotent. But he has created us with potential to become closer to him in using what he has given us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mina. Appreciate it. Anyone else? All right, let's stand for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, you who are all-powerful, and you who exist from the beginning of time, that you look upon each one of us from the beginning of eternity, and you planned us, and you gave us a purpose, and you gave us the abilities to accomplish that purpose. We thank you, dear Lord, that you got so many things going on in this world, yet you care about me, and you look down upon me, and you really, really just take care of me as if I'm the only one in this world. I thank you so much, dear Lord, for that. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. And I pray that you would teach us what our gifts are and how we can use them for your glory. We give you our hearts. We give you our lives. We give you our money. We give you our time. Everything, dear Lord, belongs to you. We don't hold anything back from you. Because truly, dear Lord, with you there is no evil. With you there is no misery. There's only good things. So please, dear Lord, accept our offering. Bless our gathering here. Bless our church. Bless our Father, Runeb Shoy, to Sony Irini, and bless all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers through our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, and St. Mark, and all your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.